Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the best animated shows ever, so far, with MC and Troy.
I'm Troy.
And I'm MC.
This is the best animated shows ever, so far, where my good friend MC and I watch, discuss, and rank every animated show ever, eventually, while my child yells at us about how much he needs to poop. Currently, he's asleep, lying in my arms, but he's asleep with his eyes open, which tells me that that's not going to last very long. He's like laying here, MC, with his mouth wide open, like, blah, and then his eyes are just each, like, just barely open, as if he's going, no, I'm not asleep. I'm not asleep at all. MC, I'm so excited.
Yes.
Da 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 da.
No one else gets to see me dancing for you. They just get this lovely music. Yeah, DuckTales.
Woo!
Very catchy theme song.
Listen. And if we were doing a show called The Best Animated Show Intros Ever so far, right now at the top, I think we'd have probably X-Men, the animated series, maybe Batman underneath that, but Pokemon would probably be at the top of that list somewhere. But
yeah,
then here comes DuckTales, woo, and I don't know if any of the rest of them hold a candle to this. This might be a better theme song than the X-Men animated series.
I mean, it actually has lyrics. And catchy ones.
Mm-hmm. The lyrics do help. MC, I want to talk just a little bit about the background of DuckTales before we get into talking about the first episode, Don't Give Up the Ship. There are two people that I want to touch on for the background here. The first is Carl Barks, who was actually a comic book artist who worked on the very, very early Donald Duck comics. He didn't create Donald Duck. Donald had appeared in like one short before Carl Barks started working on him, but he made like a lot of the early Donald Duck stories in the comic books. He created Scrooge McDuck, and then he went on no longer working for Disney. So he worked for Disney for a while, and then he quit and went somewhere else, and they were like, hey, you can draw ducks real good. We're working on this comic book for Disney. And he was like, is it, like, I just imagine it's like the beginning of Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, where he's like, all right, I was working for the big mouse, but I finally left, and now I'm going to go work for this independent publishing company. I'm here to make some comics for you, Western Publishing. Who do you want me to work on? And they're like, Donald Duck. And he's like, ah, shit, here we go again. And then working for them, he created Duckburg. So he created the city of Duckburg and created...
Am I supposed to bring up that you've been playing San Andreas?
I haven't even. I just installed it, and I haven't even played it. I just keep looking at it going, oh, San Andreas, how you doing? No. I can't go back. I have so many other games to play, but hey there, San Andreas, how you doing? He created, MC, are you ready for this? He created Scrooge McDuck in 1947, Gladstone Gander in 1948, The Beagle Boys in 1951, The Junior Woodchucks in 1951, Gyro Gearloose in 1952, Cornelius Coot in 1952, Flint Heart Glom Gold in 1956, John D. Rocker Duck in 1961, and Magica Dispel in 1961. This dude just created all of the ducks and the greater duck universe. And
yep.
He did it starting in the 40s. And then in 1987, so 40 years after he made Scrooge McDuck, they're like, hey, what if we did a cartoon? I just think that's pretty cool. 40 years later, that's crazy, but super cool. His comic books were super influential on the TV show, but they're also influential outside of that. Like, MC, let me ask you, have you heard of a little filmmaking pair of boys named Steven and George that made a little movie called Raiders of the Lost Ark?
I do believe I know of those boys and that film.
Uh-huh. You remember the part where Indy's in the cave and there's a big rock and it's rolling at him?
Yeah.
Stole that from a Donald Duck comic book written by Karl Barks.
Nice.
That, like, we have this guy who is real good at drawing ducks, to thank for the fact that Indiana Jones did the big rock thing. And I think that's pretty neat. What's interesting is apparently the way that Disney Comics worked, nobody knew who he was, because Disney Comics were, like, they had Walt Disney's name on them. They did not have the name of the creators that were actually working on them. So he worked anonymously for, like, a long, long time on the Donald Duck books. But people recognized his art style. So, like, crazy Disney comic fans in the 60s were like, listen, we don't know who this guy is, but we really like how he draws them ducks. So we call him the Good Duck Artist. So that's, like, his, like, unofficial pseudonym was the Good Duck Artist.
That's adorable.
It's super good. And then the other guy I want to talk about is Jim Morgan. Jim Magan. J-Y-M-N space M-A-G-O-N. Jim Magan, I think, is how Wikipedia is telling me to pronounce this. He was the one who was actually in charge of the DuckTales TV show. And just, he did everything. Working for Disney and then working elsewhere as well. So I'm just going to give you a list here, because we're definitely going to see some more projects that he worked on. He's got under his belt work on Gummy Bears, DuckTales, Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, Tailspin, Darkwing Duck, Goof Troop, Quack Pack, New Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, Goofy Movie, Make Way for Naughty, Casper, A Spirited Beginning, Casper Meets Wendy, Archie's Weird Mysteries, and All Dogs Go to Heaven, the series. I didn't know there was an All Dogs Go to Heaven, the series. MC, I think that in the future, one of the times we're picking a show to watch, we should do, like, a category one where we, you know, come up with shows within a category, and the category should be, like, forgotten animated spin-offs of movies, because I think that would be interesting. Like, All Dogs Go to Heaven, the series. Who knew there was such a thing?
Yeah, there's got to be other shows like that as well, right?
There's both Beetlejuice and Ghostbusters had animated series.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of weird. We can probably find a Wikipedia article of, like, animated spinoffs and use that to kind of figure it out. He was also producer on a movie called Titanic: The Legend Goes On, a 2000 Spanish-Italian animated feature film about the sinking of the Titanic. So it's like. It's like Titanic, but what if instead of being topless, Rose was friends with talking mice? As far as I can tell, is what it is.
Okay. What?
I don't know. I just found this link as I was reading the page. I haven't done any research on that. Anyway, we're not here to talk about Jim Morgan. We're talking, or Jim Megan, I can't remember how I said his name. We're here to talk about DuckTales, Season 1, Episode 1, MC. And it's called, yes, Don't Give Up the Ship.
We'll get to it.
MC, nope. I was waiting for you to try to start the ad break so that I could interrupt you. Because,
oh, okay.
Do you know what Don't Give Up the Ship is? It's a reference. No. Don't Give Up the Ship is a reference to a 1972, republished in 1975, set of rules for a tabletop role-playing war game published collaboration between some guy named Dave Arneson, I don't know who he is, and Gary Gygax, where you do ship battles. Don't Give Up the Ship is a rule book for doing big old boat battles in D&D before D&D.
That's cool factoid.
I'm not saying we should do a spinoff where we have big old ship battles, but, oh my gosh, no, we shouldn't, because, MC, this is one of the ones where you need to have, like, a giant playmat on the floor where you have your little boats on the floor and you move them around and stuff. Oh, no.
So I have some rules, strongholds and followers. Mm-hmm. In there is a base called a pirate ship.
I want to play more D&D so I can have a pirate ship.
Well, I did give you guys, like, a skimmer.
That's true. We got a little boat. It was not a ship, though. It was a boat.
No.
I want a ship.
Yeah.
Did you Did the thing make it to Australia where you say pirate ship, but you hold your tongue? That happened in Australia schools?
Yeah, I believe it did, yeah.
Because it sounds like you're saying pile of shit.
Yeah.
I've decided we can say shit on this show. I hope that doesn't offend anybody.
I hope not either.
Whatever. They can deal with it. All right, MC, now you can take us to an ad break. I just had to tell you about Don't Give Up the Ship.
So, now we'll get into the episode right after these messages.
Hey everyone, Scott here with my good pal Rich. Say hi, Rich.
Hi.
And we're here today to tell you about a podcast we host together with our buddies Jay and Bill, the RPG After Years.
The after what?
The RPG After Years. Our show has entered into a new era of covering everything RPGs, both old and new. Thus it is after its first era. It's the After Years.
I thought RPG was rocket propelled grenade.
No, RPG stands for role playing game. It's a genre of video game. Every week, we go through the latest news and discuss other relevant RPG-related topics. We also review RPGs as we complete them.
So an RPG is not a rabid Portuguese goose?
No, thank God. From Dragon Quest and Final Fantasy to The Witcher and Cyberpunk, we've got RPGs covered from the dawn of time to the far-flung future.
Oh, I've heard of Final Fantasy.
I'd hope so. So check us out on iTunes or whatever your preferred podcast listening platform happens to be. You can also find us at probablywork.com. Level up your podcast feed with the RPG After Years.
Enjoy the show.
We've set up new ways that our listeners can interact with us. So Twitter and Instagram have been there for a while. We've got an email account. All of that's BaseSFcast. The emails at basesfcast@gmail.com. But now there's a Facebook page. So you can go to facebook.com/basesfcast and you can find the page for the show. And then there's also on that page, there's a button that says join group. We'll probably watch the group more than the page. To get to the group, you do have to know what one of our names are, which if you don't at this point, I'm a little hurt. We also have a YouTube account. If you search basesfcast on YouTube, then you'll find the episodes, but on YouTube. I was gonna say but in video format, but it's not really in video format because we don't record our faces. I guess we do record our faces. We're not putting up videos anyway. Cast on YouTube. And then the final thing is, MC, you want to tell them about the voice messages?
Oh yeah, that's right. On Anchor, you can actually go onto our podcast and it's a button. It's just a button that they can press.
It's just a button. It says send voice message.
And you click on that and you can record a little voice message for us. In fact, what we really are looking for is for people to drop in their opinion on the show that we're currently watching. And we will drop a few of those into episode 3.
Yep.
Probably right before we rank the show.
Yeah, I think that's the place to do it. It's kind of as we're wrapping up our thoughts on the show, then we can get a little bit of your thoughts on the show. And the page for that is just anchor.fm/basesfcast. Just whatever website you're on, put basesfcast at the end of it. Unless it's an adult website. Don't do that.
I mean. And we're back.
I'm so used to your "and we're back" that like I know how long you're going to mentally pause between saying right after these messages and we're back. So I was able to dance to you saying "and we're back."
Yeah.
We are back to talk about Don't Give Up the Ship, the first episode of DuckTales. Now, MC, this episode already we're going to have some wonkiness because this episode first premiered twice because the first 5 episodes all are known as a serial, basically. And the way that they aired it originally was as 1 2-hour movie, which was in September of 1987. And then they aired them individually starting in November of 1987. So this episode individually premiered on November 9th, 1987. Don't Give Up the Ship. First part of The Treasure of the Golden Suns, which is a cool title.
Yes, a very cool title. And after the very catchy opening... Yeah, as soon as that's done, we get the classic Scrooge McDuck scene.
Listen, Scrooge McDuck, okay, I don't understand how he's rich, because he does not have a concept of value, because he's like, I'm going to walk, that's not his voice, I can't think of what a Scottish voice sounds like, but he's like, I'm going to walk 3 miles instead of paying like $2 for a cab, and it's like, Scrooge, you've got to value your time, my friend, because like, surely your time is like, it is more beneficial. That's the thing I've heard people talk about, where like, Bill Gates makes so much money that if he was walking down the street and saw a $100 bill on the sidewalk, it would like, it would cost him money to stop and pick it up, because like, he makes more per second than $100. So it doesn't make sense for him to stop and pick up a $100 bill. That's how I feel about Scrooge McDuck not taking a cab. Like, just get a cab, man.
Yeah. Well, the other thing he is well known for other than being stingy with his money, mm-hmm. is a bit of a cheapskate. But diving into his big piles of cash.
Oh yeah, we do get that first, don't we?
Yeah.
Right off the bat, they're like, hey, you know what's going to be the most iconic image of this show? A duck swimming in gold.
And he talks about how he loves playing around in his money and like digging through it and throwing it up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And then as he realizes he's late for something, and he goes running out and gets changed in the gold.
He does,
from his bathing
he?
Suit, yeah. into his like outfit.
He's got a whole wardrobe down there under the gold.
And he knocks the gold piece out of his ear.
Mm-hmm.
Right at the end.
So he sets off across town. He, like I said, he won't take a cab. And he's walking by and people are like, money for the poor. And he's like, they're not worth it. And then somebody's like, do you want some cheese? And he's like, heck no. And she's like, free cheese. And he's like, cool, I'm going to take all the free cheese. And I'll be back tomorrow for more free cheese. And I'm like, again, this show's got a weird concept of like, the super wealthy are people who steal free cheese, I guess.
You're missing one more.
What's that?
He checks the phone. And he picks up the penny that's in the phone.
Yep, takes finding spare change. Like I said, picked up a quarter. Your time is worth more than the quarter it took to grab that, even if it was a quarter and not a penny. But ultimately, he's going down to the docks, the good old Duckburg docks, to pick up his great nephews? Is that right?
I'm not...
Great Uncle Scrooge? He must be Great Uncle Scrooge.
They just call him Uncle Scrooge because...
But Donald also calls him
Donald,
Uncle Scrooge.
Yeah, he calls him Uncle Scrooge.
And the nephews call Donald Uncle Donald.
Uncle Donald. Yeah, there's two uncles, no parents, anywhere to be seen, which is terrifying to think about.
I mean, it's pretty standard for Disney. I'm sure their parents died in some tragic accident when they were children, and they probably witnessed the whole thing, and it really screwed them up for the rest of their lives, because it's Disney, and that's what happens.
Yeah, that's scary to think about.
Yeah.
But
anyway, Uncle Donald's like, listen, I know I'm responsible for your childhoods, but I'm going to go join the Navy. Goodbye.
Well, he's always dressed up as a sailor, so it's kind of on point.
Yeah, this shows like, what if he actually was a sailor instead of just wearing the costume? Like, let's go put him on a boat. So he heads off to the Navy and leads the kids with Scrooge, who... This is where he's like, no, we're going to walk 3 miles rather than taking a taxi.
Yeah.
Which is just a long walk. That's, I mean...
And
it's not a terribly long walk, but they got luggage, dude. Come on. I'll make people carry luggage for 3 miles.
Well, and then as soon as they get to the house, he orders the butler to take the baggage up to the room that they've prepared. And that room is, like, the smallest room ever. And it's just got, like,
it's like a tiny little attic room with cots on the floor.
Yeah, cots. That's the word that I was looking for. They've got cot beds. Mm-hmm. Like, it looks like just a frame.
They're like, this is going to be great. It's such a big house. We'll each get our own room. And smash cut to them, and like, locked up in the attic tower.
Yeah. And they get a letter from Donald.
Yeah, as they're sitting here like, this sucks, I hate it. Then they get a letter, and it's from Donald saying how good it is to be in the Navy and stuff.
And we actually get a clip show of what's actually happening in the Navy. And it's not going great for Donald, even though the letter sounds like it's going awesome for him.
Yeah, he's like, he's squabbing the decks and stuff. He's not doing anything cool.
No.
But the boys hear about Uncle Donald on an Air Force carrier, and they do what little kids do, which is they're like immediately captured by it and start playing aircraft carrier. And so they're like running around the house using the like butler's tray as an airplane and crashing into the dining room table and stuff. And Scrooge is like,
they're just being kids.
They're just being kids. And Scrooge is like, oh my gosh, so loud here. I'm going to go to the office so I can actually get some work done. Do they follow him?
So what happens is they've been trapped up in the tower for 3 days or something at this point. And they keep seeing the butler, Duckbird.
Duckworth.
Duckworth. I don't know why Duckbird.
Who's a dog? And his name is Duckworth. Do you think his name is not actually Duckworth, and that's just what Uncle Scrooge calls him?
Maybe. But it's one of those weird things where he's like this dry humor in the middle of this really outlandish show.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, the boys get the better of him. They wrap him up and they follow Scrooge to his office, which is like his vault.
Yeah, his office and the money bin are in the same building there.
Yeah.
And Scrooge is like, he's like, listen, I'm in a crummy mood. You know what I need? Send in solicitors. Send in people who really want just a fraction of my immense wealth so that I can say no and crush their hopes and dreams. That's what'll make me feel better.
Actually, one of my favorite scenes is when they're in the office and they're at his money pit and the triplets are fishing for notes and he's like, oh, that's just a 50, throw it back.
I didn't catch that when I watched it.
Yeah.
He's kind of a jerk. I was so excited to watch DuckTales. And then episode one, you're like, man, Scrooge, like, I remember that he was, like, rich and a bit miserly, but literally his pastime is to deny money to charitable organizations. That's where he's like, this is fun.
His whole thing is about being the richest duck, I think.
Yeah. But one of the people who comes in looking for money is the leader of the Junior Woodchucks, which is like Boy Scouts, but for ducks and other barnyard animals. And he's like, we like do stuff that occupies your children so you don't have to deal with them. And Scrooge is like, oh, hey, that sounds intriguing.
Oh, you know, we actually forgot about a scene.
The Beagle Boys?
Yeah, escaping.
Yeah, so
they're bombs.
Yeah. They get bonbons, but they're bombs, and they use them to blow a hole in the wall. And they're beagles, and I guess they don't really look like beagles. They look like some kind of dog. I don't know. That's not what a beagle looks like, but they're called the Beagle Boys. And they use the bombs to blow out a hole in the wall. And go meet their mysterious benefactor who helped them get away.
Yeah, and then we get the solicitor scene, and him finding out about what are they?
The Junior Woodchucks.
Yeah, Junior Woodchucks. Mm-hmm. So, and there's like this guy. He's like got this military get up essentially, and he like gives him hats and exactly three hats and sashes and the booklet, the guidebook,
the Junior Woodchucks guidebook, which will be an ongoing asset for the nephews. Yeah,
and still gets thrown out the window by the robot arms, but Scrooge says, "Bill me." As he does it, so he's accepted it.
MC, listen, I know our D&D game kind of fell by the wayside because I had a kid and whatnot, but if I ever run a D&D game again, or if I'm playing one in one you run, I want the Junior Woodchuck's guidebook to be a magical item in it, where, like, you can do, I don't know, like a wisdom check once a day to get proficiency in any task by, like, flipping through the book and looking for a page all about the thing you're trying to do. I think that'd be kind of fun. I think that'd be
a fun item. I'll put that in my notes.
Okay, we got speed up here. So let's see. The boys find a boat and they want to send it to Uncle Scrooge, Donald. A little wooden ship. Meanwhile, the Beagle Boys meet up with the guy who got him out of jail, and he's like, "I hired you. Or I broke you out of jail because I want you to break in and steal this little boat." So it's like, oh, what's happened with the boat? Must be worth something.
El Capitan
is the guy who broke the Beagle Boys out of jail.
He kind of looks weaselish. I can't really tell.
I think he's a dog as well. I'm pretty sure that in the greater Duckburg universe, there are fowl and canines. I'm pretty sure those are the only species.
Okay.
I think. I'm not positive, but I think.
It's just so weird.
I'm trying to remember how... Oh, no. I'm trying to remember how it is that the boys end up, like, in a chase scene with the Beagles.
So, what happens is they hear Scrooge talking to Duckworth about the boys, and it sounds negative. Because he's talking about how they're getting in all this trouble and whatnot, and they're being a nuisance. But then he's like, "Oh, but they're brilliant, and I love them," sort of thing, as well.
Right. But they only hear the bad part.
Yeah, and they decide to run away. And what happens is they see El Capitan standing outside the building.
Right.
And being all shady, and they're like, "We should investigate." And they run into the Beagle Boys in there.
Okay. And the Beagle Boys are trying to steal the ship, and the nephews try and stop them. But ultimately, Beagle Boys get away with the ship, and Uncle Scrooge blames the nephews. And they're like, "No, man, we were really trying to help you out." But he grounds them to the attic. And this is when they pull out the Junior Woodchucks guidebook and roll real good on their proficiency check for building a hang glider. And this is where this could be a fun magic item, MC. Because
I'm just gonna point one thing out real quick. You said they roll real good on their proficiency score. I would argue they did a middling job on their score. Their saving rolls were brilliant, but
because what happens is they build a hang glider, but they don't figure out how to land it. That's what I was gonna say is that's where this can be a fun book, because you can make it. This can be a monkey's paw situation where what you're looking up in the book has to be real specific. So, like, they were like, "We need to look up how to build a hang glider." And they scored really well on looking up how to build a hang glider. They did not say, "Hey, book, how do I land a hang glider?" And therefore, they crash it.
Well, actually, it starts falling apart first. Right as they realize that it's like, "Oh, how do we land this thing?"
Ah, shoot. You're right. Well, then maybe they didn't score so great. Anyway. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. But they come out of that real well.
Mm-hmm.
A bit wet.
Yep. They steal a boat back, and then this is where chasing happens. And they're like, "Scrooge, we need to get the ship to Scrooge." And he, because apparently the ship is a treasure map. We overheard the bad guy saying that. And Scrooge is at his candy factory, because that's the thing that he has. And he's being interviewed at the candy factory. by a reporter who's like, "So you're super rich, huh?" And he's like, "Yep, I am." And she's like, "That's pretty cool. Your family must be proud of you." And he's like, "Family? What's that?" And she's like, "You know, like people who love you." And he's like, "Oh, I'm a bad person." And then the trio comes in with the boat.
He also realizes that he has his nephews. Mm-hmm. The whole time that's going on, the triplets are having a chase scene with the Beagle Boys across roofs. Mm-hmm. Do you remember how that ends?
No, I do not.
They're on a power line. They're okay. Crawling across the power line to the candy factory. And the Beagle Boys come up and they snap the wire and uh-huh. try to shake them off of it and just end up flinging them into the candy store. The candy place. The
so factory. Then, thank you, Beagle Boys, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
They helped him out. Also, when you said Powerline, I really wanted to make a Goof Troop reference, but I could not think of the song from Powerline. All I could think of was the song from Xenon Girl of the 21st Century. Zoom, 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 make my heart go boom. But that's not Powerline at all. So that's a bad joke, which is why I didn't say it, and instead I explained it after the fact. What is the song that Powerline sings in the
Goof Troop? Eye to
Eye? Yes, yes. I can't think of how it goes.
One, two, three. I can't remember.
Anyway, Powerline is a reference to another Disney property.
Yeah.
Moving and on.
What happens is they land in some custard or something with the ship, and they're like, "Hey, look, we saved the day." And then the Beagle Boys come flying in through the window as well. And it's like, see, we weren't lying.
There's so much broken glass in the custard. It's awful. And Scrooge is like, I love my family. I forgot that family's so much more important than money. Well, maybe not more important, but a close second. And then they have, like, a fun, like, romp back and forth. Like, they steal the ship, and then the Beagle Boys get the ship, and then somebody else steals the ship back and dumps the Beagle Boys in some chocolate, and it's all back and forth. And Scrooge and the nephews are working together. Great to see it. You love to see a family coming together like that. And at the end of the day, they get the ship.
Yeah.
Uncover the Beagle Boys in chocolate.
Now, I have a question for you, Troy.
Sure.
Who's Huey?
Who's Huey?
Yeah.
Three
colors.
I know. I think Huey's red.
Yep.
And Dewey's blue.
Yep.
And Louie is green.
Yes, that is correct.
Did I really
correct.
Get it right?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I'm so proud of myself.
Because, The thing, the one that gets captured in, like, this last scene where they actually get the boat and then cover the guys in the chocolate, it's Huey who gets captured.
Mm-hmm.
And, earlier on, when the two guys get dumped in the caramel, it's Dewey, the one with the blue shirt, who pies him and he says, okay. "Get him, Dewey."
So what I went to is I was trying to remember back to when Donald dropped them off on the dock.
Yeah.
He says something to each of them, and I was trying to remember what order they were standing in. Because I'm like, I know he had to have said it, Huey, Dewey, Louie, because you always say Huey, Dewey, Louie. So it's like, I'm pretty sure it was red, blue, green. Oh, no, that doesn't work. Anyway, that's the end of the episode, right?
Yeah.
They got the ship, Beagle Boys covered in chocolate. And El Capitan's like, "I'll get you, Scooby-Doo." No, Scrooge McDuck.
Because he's and like, the he's, reporter he's signs off.
Oh yeah, because the reporter like live broadcast the whole battle in the candy factory.
Yeah.
I didn't expect the like destroyed candy factory to be a plot point, but it was. Included that. Do you remember in Indiana Jones, when the guy burns his hand on the thing?
Yes.
And then it's like he makes his pull too high because you have to subtract two somethings for the god whose staff this is.
Yes.
But his doesn't have that. So his pull's too long. So they're digging in the wrong place. I really like Indiana Jones. That happens here because the boat falls in the chocolate and it leaves an impression on the chocolate. which you don't realize here, but that's going to be important in the next episode, that there's an impression
it will be
in the chocolate. But MC, it's time for us to end the show, and we've got a new way to end the show, which is I asked you to come up with a best and a worst thing for the episode, and we're gonna this is how we're gonna end the shows going forward, is we're gonna do worst first, partially because it rhymes, but also so that we end on a high note. But first I want to give a quick shout out the two shows that made me want to incorporate this into our podcast. One is called Post Atomic Core, which is a comprehensive Star Trek podcast. They've covered all of Star Trek, all of it, and then a whole bunch of other stuff too, but I've been listening to them as we watch Voyager, and they do good things and bad things, which on Voyager sometimes finding a good thing is a little difficult. And then the other show that made me want to do this is Disney Forever, which was started by my friends Void and Katie over at the Geek to Geek Network, where they're watching all of the Disney movies. All of them. It might take a while. And they do good things and bad things on their shows. So we're going to do best and worst. Worst first. Do you want to go first or you want me to go first?
You go first.
All right. Here's my worst thing about this episode. The freaking subtitles are bad. Did you have the subtitles on while you were watching this episode?
During this watch. The last watch, yeah.
While we were recording and you were scrubbing through.
Yeah.
So if you have it on at the same time as the audio, it will make you lose your mind. Because it is, like, never accurate. The subtitles are like somebody watched a scene and then played the scene back with it muted and tried to remember what everybody was saying. Because it's, like, never
a little off.
It's always close, but it is never correct. And I just have subtitles on all the time.
Well,
and it broke my brain trying to have them on, because the characters would say, like, we should work together on this, and the subtitles would say, maybe if we cooperate. And it's like, how did you get that? That's not what.
So I got it paused at the moment. The Beagle Boys are getting carried away. And it says, law enforcement, circus arts.
Circus arts?
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
I don't think it's proper subtitling.
It's weird how bad the subtitling is in it. I don't quite understand. Anyway, what was your worst thing?
I think probably the worst thing is the realization that these boys only have these two uncles.
They're shattered family.
I was seriously thinking at one point when he was dropping them off with Scrooge, I literally thought, hey, wait a minute, where are these kids' parents at?
Right.
And I was like, oh no, that's really sad to think about.
These are orphan ducks.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to Google it real quick. Is that okay? Huey,
yeah.
Dewey, and Louie. Father.
There was a guy named Troy Dunham. Needed some answers. How would he find them? Just Google that stuff. Yeah, Google that stuff. Yeah, Google that stuff all day long. Google that person. Google that place. Google it all, because there is no place to remember any reason. Remember any why. All we do know is that we're gonna die, yeah. I'm gonna die, yeah. You're gonna die, yeah. Troy, you're gonna die. Yeah, Google it.
Okay, Della Duck was Donald Duck's sister. And their father, usually known as Mr. Duck or possibly Jamie Duck, sometimes Osman Duck, was her boyfriend, and then... Okay, so he was a boyfriend, probably husband, blah, 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 blah. When Della first sent her children over to Donald in 1937, it was because the three little devils had set a cracker off under Mr. Duck's chair, sending him to the hospital for several weeks.
Oh my god.
They hospitalized their father. Whoa. Okay, so that was in 1937. And see, this just got dark. That was in 1937. Then it says, however... In 1938, when the nephew's caretaking was handed over to Donald for good by Della, Mr. Duck was nowhere to be seen. He died, MC. They killed their father with firecrackers, is what happened. And
or he went off to war.
No, MC. He died. He He died from firecrackers, and they killed their father, and their mother couldn't live with it and send them off because she was like, every time I look at you, I just see my dead husband, and it's all your fault. You little awful children, I hate you so goddamn much. Go live with my failure of a brother, my stupid brother who thinks he's a sailor even though he's never been on a boat before. You go live with him because I can't handle it anymore.
Yeah, it got real dark. Okay, so that's the worst thing about the realization of how dark Disney can be at times.
How about your best thing?
I want to say anything that has to do with Scrooge's vault.
Okay.
Like him swimming in it, them fishing, like just seeing like the stacks of like cash and gold and like treasure and all that stuff. It's just like in your kid head, like in that your kid brain, that's how rich people have their money. Like that's how you see rich people having money.
Yes.
When you're a kid,
it is. So I'm debating whether I want to share this. I'm gonna share it. I used to have a recurring nightmare about being in what was effectively the money bin and having gold coins poured on top of me, because like young Troy was like, that would be terrible. That sounds awful. You shouldn't swim in coins. That would hurt so bad. And so I had a recurring nightmare having like basically being at the bottom of, I think maybe in the DuckTales movie, the money bin gets emptied. And so you see it empty. And like, that is the setting for the recurring nightmare I had as a kid, was like standing in the bottom of that. And then some like coins pouring in from above. That's a bad way to go.
It's not good. I remember seeing Star Wars as like a little kid.
Mm.
So mine was closing in walls.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good one too. And
being
stuck in a trash container with a weird squid monster in the bottom, because
weird
monsters are part of Star Wars. People who get mad about
Rathgars.
Squid monster
never scared me all that much because I knew it was going to be gone as soon as the walls started moving. Mm-hmm.
They should have just escaped out the bottom wherever the squid monster went.
I mean,
there was a way out down there. My best thing was Donald in the Navy, because it was in the middle of DuckTales, you get a little Donald Duck cartoon short. And I love Donald Duck shorts where it's just like, here's like 4 minutes of Donald being a complete mess up. And that's what this was. He's like swabbing the decks, and as he's like wiping a window and drops a bucket on the head of the commanding officer. And in his letter,
Admiral,
he's like, my commanding officer's really taken a personal interest in me. He's even given me dangerous fighter jet work. And he's like cleaning the back engines of a fighter jet that sets him on fire. And this is dumb. Dumb little jokes in the middle of this that I like.
Yeah.
I love Donald Duck cartoons, so that part made me really happy.
It was really good.
Well, our hope is that the best and worst can replace our awkward endings from before, so I think that we will just say thank you for listening, and we will be back next week, maybe next time? We're going to go with next time, because who knows if we'll make it to weekly, because this kid slows things down a little bit. But he slept through this episode real good, and hopefully he sleeps real good through the next episode, which is called Wrong Way to Wrong Way. This is a bad title.
Yeah.
There's a country called Rongway, Rongway, and this episode is called Wrong Way to Wrong Way.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the best animated shows ever so far. Find the show on Twitter at BaseSFCast or email us at BaseSFCast@gmail.com. That's BaseSFCast. Our intro music is Funnin' and Sunnin', and our outro music is Motivator, both by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com and licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Thanks again for listening, and tune in next time.
This has been a presentation
of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at probablywork
for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.